He wanted to show that he was prepared to let bygones be bygones, work with them for a new, better and more efficient universe. He'd call it a getting-to-know-you party. There'd been sausages on sticks and everything. He'd done his best to make it nice. They hadn't even bothered to answer the invitations. And he'd made a special point of putting RSVP on them. Dayban. Eric peered around the door. What shape are you? He said. Pretty poor shape, said Rincewind. I've brought you some food. You don't eat, do you? Rincewind tried some. It was a bowl of cereal, nuts and dried fruit. He didn't have a quarrel with any of that. It was just that somewhere in the preparation, something had apparently been done to these innocent ingredients, what it takes a million gravities to do to a neutron star. If you died of eating this sort of thing, they wouldn't have to bury you. They would just need to drop you somewhere where the ground was soft. He managed to swallow it. It wasn't difficult. The trick would have been preventing it from heading downwards. Lovely, he choked. The parrot did a splendid impersonation of someone being sick. I've decided to let you go, said Eric. It's pretty pointless keeping you, isn't it? Absolutely. You don't have any powers at all. Sorry, dead failure. You don't look too demonic, come to think of it, said Eric. They never do. You can't trust them, what's-names, chortled the parrot. It lost its balance again. Polly want a biscuit, it said, upside down. Rincewind spun round. You stay out of this, Beaky. There was a sound behind them, like the universe clearing its throat. The chalk marks of the magic circle grew terribly bright for a moment, became fiery lines against the scuffed planks, and something dropped out of the empty air and landed heavily on the floor. It was a large, metal-bound chest. It had fallen on its curved lid. After a while it started to rock violently. Then it extended hundreds of little pink legs and, with considerable effort, flipped itself over. Finally, it shuffled around until it was watching the pair of them. It was all the more disconcerting because it was staring without having any eyes to do it with. Eric moved first. He grasped the homemade magic sword, which flapped wildly. You are a demon, he said. I nearly believed you when you said you weren't. Whee, said the parrot. It's just my luggage, said Rincewind desperately. It's a sort of... Well, it goes everywhere with me. There's nothing demonic about it. He hesitated. Not much, anyway, he finished lamely. Avaunt! Oh, not again. The boy looked at the open book. My commands earlier resume, he said firmly. The most beautiful woman who has ever lived, mastery of all the kingdoms of the world, and to live forever. Get on with it. Rincewind stood frozen. Well, go on, said Eric. You're supposed to disappear in a puff of smoke. Listen, do you think I can just snap my fingers? Rincewind snapped his fingers. There was a puff of smoke. Rincewind gave his fingers a long, shocked stare, as one might regard a gun that had been hanging on the wall for decades and has suddenly gone off and perforated the cat. They've hardly ever done that before, he said. He looked down. Ah! He said, and closed his eyes. It was a better world in the darkness behind his eyelids. If he tapped his foot, he could persuade himself that he could feel the floor. He could know that he was really standing in the room, and that the urgent signals from all his other senses, which were telling him that he was suspended in the air some 1,000 miles or so above the disk, were just a bad dream he'd wake up from. He hastily cancelled that thought. If he was asleep, he'd prefer to stay that way. You could fly in dreams. If he woke up, it was a long way to fall. Perhaps I have died, and I really am a demon, he thought. It was an interesting point. He opened his eyes again. Wow, said Eric, his eyes gleaming. Can I have all of it? The boy was standing in the same position as he had been in the room. So was the luggage. So, to Rincewind's annoyance, was the parrot. It was perching in midair, looking speculatively at the cosmic panorama below. The disc might almost have been designed to be seen from space. It hadn't, Rincewind was damn sure, been designed to be lived on. But he had to admit it was impressive. The sun was about to rise on the far rim and made a line of fire that glittered around half the circumference. A long, slow dawn was just beginning its sweep across the dark, massive landscape. Below, harshly lit in the arid vacuum of space, great Atuin the world turtle toiled under the weight of creation. On his, or her, the matter had never really been resolved, carapace, the four giant elephants strained to support the disk itself. There might have been more effect.